through 10 a.m. Saturday morning. The weekend looks sunny, albeit brisk. 52 and 32 your high and low Saturday, 60, 41 on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And with us this morning, as always, on Thursday morning, talking about life and taxes, is Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins, Cecil and Wes. Good morning.
Andrew. Good morning, Mike.
How are you? And our topic today is something dear and near to my heart, regulations on expenses for travel and entertainment.
Yeah, meals and entertainment,
there you go.
Is what we have today. So when the Tax Cut and Job Act was passed, Mike, there was great confusion relative to the deductibility around meals and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So under the old law, it was very clear. 50% deduction, meals, entertainment, amusement, recreation expenses related to a trade or business.
Sure.
So you got 50% of those types of expenses were deductible. Then the new Tax Cut and Job Act comes in, and they eliminated the entertainment expense deduction. So no more shows, no more games.
Mm-hmm. Going to the ball game.
No more movies.
Write it off.
Yeah, no more of that.
Right.
No more of that. They eliminated that very clearly. You know, then the question amongst practitioners came and said, can food and beverage, meals, be considered entertainment? Put it in air quotes.
Yeah.
So, you know, dinner parties, you know,
sure.
Things like that.
Sure.
I mean, where does the line get drawn on these types of deductible expenses? So the service felt it necessary to enter transitional guidance through notice number 2018-76. And we actually talked about this on the program in 2018, where they stated very clearly that 50% of meals are deductible as ordinary and necessary business expenses carried on in a trade or business. And then they just had some guidance in this notice which said, you know, it can't be lavish or extravagant under the circumstances. So, you know, facts and circumstances do matter in that particular regard. If you're
right.
going to get that lobster dinner, you better be whining and dining someone that's pretty high up or pretty important. So it definitely pays to know where you are and what the context is. If you're going to deduct something very lavish, the taxpayer must be present when the food is served. That was what was in the notice as well. So that means that you can't do the old grab and dump. You know, you can't go out and get a bunch of food and then here's your smorgasbord.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hit the door. So that's not going to be allowed to be deducted. Taxpayer needs to be present, or at least an employee of the taxpayer needs to be present. And the proposed regulations that were just issued this past week echo a lot of the transitional guidance, but also, you know, get into further clarifications. And I thought these were pretty interesting and that it'd be fun to go through them this morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, the key with the proposed regulations is in echoing the transitional guidance, 50% of meals still deductible. So that deduction does remain. Entertainment expense, not deductible. So, you know, one of the, and I love it because they did put some examples in these regulations, and I think it's pretty nice to see them kind of borne out. So one of the examples relative to the entertainment and non-deductibility says, you know, taxpayer A invites B, a business associate, to a baseball game to
right.
discuss the proposed business deal. A purchased the tickets for both A and B to attend the game. The baseball game constitutes entertainment, thus non-deductible. It's
right.
a very clear example, you know, crystal clear example of you go to a game, not going to be able to deduct it under the new
not the ticket price, but what about the food you buy there?
Yeah, there you go. Now, assume the same facts above. A also buys hot dogs and drinks for A and B. The cost of the hot dogs and drinks are deductible. 50% of the hot dogs, 50% of the drinks, going to be deductible as a meal. So if you have items that you purchase while you're at an entertainment event that are food and beverage related, then those are deductible. All right. Well, now things get a little bit more dicey, Mike.
Here we go.
What if we have a mixed event? All right. So what if we end up in a dinner and a show? What if we end up at medieval times?
Sure.
What if we end up at the Dixie Stampede?
Or a gentleman's club.
So
sure that comes across in expenses.
So, you know, what if we end up at a suite at a baseball game or a basketball game?
What I was thinking, like a box.
Up at the Pirate Tower or whatever, at the ECU games. You know,
what do you do there?
What do we do there? So it all comes down to whether or not the items are separately stated. Okay. So you got to bear with me on this one. Same scenario. We go to a basketball game. Taxpayer takes a business associate to the game. The sit in a suite.
Mm-hmm.
Suite costs $2,500.
Yeah.
No itemization. Food and beverage is sitting over there in the corner for you if you want it.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any of it.
Uh-uh.
Not going to be deductible.
You can't do it, no.
Not going to be deductible.
No.
But in the event that the suite costs $1,500 and the food
is additional. Yeah.
And it's separately stated on the item, which, by the way, how many do you think these suites are going to start doing this?
Yeah.
They're going to make sure you get that deduction.
Sure.
So they're going to start separately stating food. And as long as the food is separately stated and it's not just one big lump sum for the suite itself or for the dinner and the show, as long as you can break out those meals, and as long as the other key to this whole thing is the meals that you get, the food and beverage, must be the same prices that you would charge a regular customer.
Patron,
so there's no upcharge because you're sitting in a suite.
Yeah.
You get, you know, they have to be standard prices is basically the best way to say it. But as long as they're separately stated, then these mixed events, you know, are going to be okay. The key here, though, is that if it is combined all together, the service has made it very clear in these proposed regs, they're not going to allow the taxpayer to do their own allocation. So they're not going to allow you to go in and say, okay, the suite was $2,500. The ticket price would have normally been, you know, $100 a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 15 seats. That's $1,500. So the food had to have been $1,000. They're not going to let you do that. It has to be separately stated on the invoice that you receive in order to be able to separately deduct the meals, 50% of those meals and beverages, and then the rest is going to be non-deductible entertainment expenses.
It's easy to slip on that one.
So, and I think it's you know, like I said, how many are going to start doing it? They're all going to start doing it.
They're going to start doing
it. I mean, they really are because if they're going to want their, you know, patrons, they're going to want their customers, they're going to want those ticket buyers to be able to get a benefit out of it if they're doing this for business related expenses.
And that's the direction all of those big arenas are moving to, are the suites and the private boxes.
Exactly.
So they want to fill up, but they want to make it easy for their patrons, i.e. the tax.
And it was easy for a business or a company to pull the trigger on those things when they were 100% deductible under the 50% deductible on the old law.
Yeah.
You know, so when it was just all included, you get a suite, you're writing half of it off.
Yeah.
Easy. Now, you know, you don't really have that situation. It's really going to depend on those meals and beverages to get that tax break for that particular business.
Keep your records.
That's right.
Keep your receipts.
And the other thing that's very interesting here is when they start talking about, you know, who needs to be involved with this in order to get the 50% deduction. One of the things that's listed in the proposed regs is they do mention taxpayers' employees being included in the list of people, business customers, consultants, you know, business contacts, and employees are listed in here. So we start getting into issues relative to, you know, the coffee at the office. You know, they used to be under a de minimis rule that didn't matter. You got your coffee and then the business could write it off 100%. Are they now bound by this 50% rule? So the coffee pot's only going to be written off 50%? You know, so there's still, even if the service tries their best to try to get every scenario and all this, there's still question marks that are out there relative to, you know, these Amazon and Google and, you know, these big Silicon Valley places. You know, one of the benefits they offer employees is, you know,
free lunches, free meals
lunches
at the cafeteria.
Yeah, they want people hanging out, talking. They want them, you know, be able to relax a little bit, but also talk a little bit of business along the way. So, you know, the question ultimately becomes, what's the taxability of that? What is the situation going to be? Are you going to have to start giving your employee, you know, those benefits, but then calling them income in order to take a 100% deduction because you don't want to be bound by this 50% rule that's possibly encaptured by these proposed regulations? I'd say, you know, Mike, based upon what I'm seeing here, that might be the one place when we have comments where you're going to get some of these bigger companies or, you know, even CPAs, who are going to say, look, you know, let's just get a definitive rule on this. Let's just figure out if we're going to offer these types of benefits, you know, these food and beverage to employees at work. You know, let's get a definitive ruling on how we're gonna treat that on our
well. Some of those California based companies are actually transporting their workers from downtown San Francisco out to Silicon Valley on buses that come and pick them up. So there's an expense there, and that's a benefit to that employee rather than having to drive their vehicle or other public transportation. So, you know, that's another issue that
all these issues you're gonna start running into.
I'm just wondering too. Back to the sports scenario that you laid out there. Client, you take a client out and he brings his five kids with him for the game, you know, and they're eating 10 hot dogs each and sodas. You can get to write that off too, you know?
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
As long as it's on that receipt. It's just, that's entertainment. So.
That's right. I remember sitting next to Fred Funk at the golfer.
Yep.
We went to the Nationals game a few years ago and he was sitting right behind us and his kids ordered a whole bunch of stuff or whatever. And they're like, oh, cheaper than the Yankees game.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, you know,
Fred can afford it.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. What else do you have in the last? We have another minute here or so.
Yeah. So just, you know, I think the take home point from all of this is that these rules are still in flux. I mean, we're getting more and more guidance relative to this. When the law was initially passed, there was a complete question mark. We get this interim transitional guidance. Now it's getting flushed out proposed regulations that will become final at some point in time.
Very good.
So, you know, you got to just be careful when it comes to deducting these types
of items. Yeah, and keep records.
Right. That's right.
If you want to reach Andrew after the show, call him at 252-726-9050 or go online to Harvell and Collins at Cecil and Wes. And they're located at 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. Thank you. We'll have another segment next Thursday, Andrew. Thank you.